How's everybody doing?
Good.
Praise God. That's good to hear. If you have your Bibles, let's start at 2 Corinthians 5:17. It's a verse that you all know very well. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Been teaching for several weeks on the subject of faith, and we started in Hebrews 11:1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So we've tried to give a definition of faith and what that means. We've talked about salvation being of the Lord, that salvation is God's plan from beginning to end. Talked about works. True faith produces works. And in Romans 14, it says, anything that is not of faith is sin. And so it is our desire, all of us, that we're going to live a life full of faith, a life that pleases God. But this verse in 2 Corinthians 5:17, when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and we're born again by the Spirit of God, God does something in our lives, doesn't he? He makes a new creature. We're new. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things have become new. And that's kind of what I want to talk to you about, that new life. I want to talk about purifying faith. Faith that purifies. When we have this new life in Christ, there's a purging of sin, putting the flesh to death that the Apostle Paul wrote about in the book of Romans chapter 6. And a new life that begins. So would you join me for a word of prayer as we begin, Father God, as we talk about purifying faith? I pray, Lord God, that you would lead and guide. And Father, we're all on this journey. I think all of us want to be obedient. We want to be faithful. We want to be the people of God that you've called us to be. And it was said in our missions conference, I think we're all willing to be willing. We want to be used of you. We want to serve you. So, Father, may the preaching of your word, the teaching of your word today, may it glorify and honor you. For I ask it in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, I'm thankful again for the privilege to share the word of God with you. And in this purifying faith, if you would turn, first of all, to 1 John chapter 3. 1 John chapter 3. And what's our motivation for purifying faith? We're saved. What motivates us to want to put the flesh to death and to be these new creatures in Christ? What is God doing in our life? You know, it says in the Gospel of John chapter 15 and verse 3, we are cleaned through the Word. Through the Word of God, we're cleaned. We're purged, if you will. We're made right with God. It talks about in verse 2 of that chapter, if anyone abides in Christ and if they're not bringing forth fruit, it says they're cut off. But if you're in Christ and you're bringing forth fruit, he says you're purged, you're cleansed. And that's what God is doing. You know, when we have plants, I'm not very good with plants, maybe some of you are, but I do know that you have to cut them back sometimes. And if you got dead branches, you cut them off. That's what God does in our life. He purges us in order that we could bring forth much fruit. He's working in our lives, amen? God allows things to come into our life. You know, Paul talked about a thorn in the flesh. There are thorns in our life. It says in Hebrews chapter 12, God chastens those whom he loves. Chastening seems grievous when it's happening. We don't like it. But yet God allows us to go through these testings and these trials. Peter talked about the trying of our faith is like gold that perishes in the fire. God allows our faith to be put to the test. James says, count it all joy when we go through divers temptations. So God allows us to be tested in order that he might bring forth fruit, that we might be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, I think part of our motivation is now that we're saved, we have hope. 1 John chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, "Behold what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Every man that has this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is impure." Realizing that we have this hope, it talks about that in Hebrews chapter 6. We have a hope that is steadfast and sure. And that hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. Our hope is in him because of what he's done, what he's doing, what he's going to do. But it says, if you're a child of God, and we know we don't know what we're going to be like, but one day when we see him, when he appears, we're going to be like him. And if you have this hope of eternal life, if this hope is living in you, then he says you ought to do something. You ought to purify yourselves. Be separate from the world, as he talks about in 2 Corinthians 6. Be ye separate, saith the Lord. Come out from among them, and you will be my people, and I'll be your God. He tells us in verse 14 of that chapter, don't be unequally yoked with unbelievers. Because it says what? What's the word that it uses? Communion between Christ and Belial, between that which is wrong, that which is right. I'm paraphrasing. But he says, come out from the world, be separate, purify yourselves. We can't do anything without God's help, can we? It's not a thing we can do. We need God's help from beginning to end. But you know, he is our helper. He's our helper in times of trouble, isn't he? Ezekiel said the joy of the Lord is our strength. So he gives us help and he gives us strength. So seeing then that we know that this is going to happen, if we have this hope, we purify ourselves even as he is pure. So the idea is to be as much like Christ as we can. And I tell you, that's an impossibility in one sense of the word. But on the other hand, that's the perfect will of God for us. Not only is the motivation for purifying faith this hope that we have, if you would look at Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. And we see the love of Christ. We see the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for you and I. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope in the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. Christ loved us and he gave his life for us. As we're looking for this blessed hope, for this glorious appearing, we hope it's going to come soon. We're going to hear the trumpet of God and the voice of the archangel, and Jesus himself will descend from heaven with a shout and call us up to meet him in the air. And those that have already died, they'll be caught up first, and we which are alive will be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And it says we're to comfort one another with those words. But notice it says, as we're looking for him, we're reminded he gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar, different, special, unusual people, zealous of good works. It says we were not redeemed in 1 Peter 1 with corruptible things like silver and gold, but we were redeemed from what? From the vain conversation and traditions and lifestyle that the Jews had received from their fathers. Isn't it interesting that tradition can keep you away from God? People have their traditions, what they were brought up with. In my case, I went to Sunday school a few times as a kid, But basically, I was a heathen. God didn't have to redeem me from any traditions, religious traditions. But there are tremendous hindrance to people coming to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he says, God redeemed you from your traditions. He called the Jews to go away from their traditions and to come to him, because in Christ is life alone, in him is forgiveness. So he gave himself for us that he might redeem us. So we've been redeemed with the blood of Christ, a lamb without spot, a lamb without blemish. He was born perfect, without spot. He lived a perfect life without blemish, tempted in every point, yet without sin. That's the Savior that we serve. He redeemed us. We're not our own. We've been bought with a price, and that price was the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God for that precious life that Christ gave to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify us. So we should have a desire, because of the love of Christ, to be like him, to be purified, to be different, to be set apart. I know we all fail. I fail miserably every day. But I'm glad that it says, if any man sins, he has an advocate in the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And that if we confess our sin to him, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God doesn't want us to sin. He wants us not to sin. But if we do sin, we have an advocate. It's the Lord Jesus Christ, who ever lives to make intercession for the saints of God. Christ is on our side, isn't he? Amen, brother. Yep. He is on our side. I've been redeemed. Have you been redeemed? I think you could say amen.
Amen.
Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. We sing it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. And you know, we're in Jesus, perfected and happy in him. So motivation for purifying faith is this hope that we have in Christ. This love that Christ has for us, the sacrifice that he gave, the promise of his coming again. 1 Peter chapter 1 kind of alluded to it, verses 21 and 22. The truth, which produces love for Christ, love for the brethren, love for those that are lost. We talked about this a little bit Friday morning, about people in the world, our enemies. But yet Christ told us what? We're to love our enemies. Pray for those that persecute us and despitefully use us. And when we're persecuted for righteousness' sake, rejoice, because our names are written in heaven. Amen? Do we have anything to rejoice about? Paul said, rejoice. And again, I say rejoice. Even on a bad day, we can rejoice. On a rainy day, we can rejoice. On a sunny day, whatever's going on, we can rejoice, because we belong to him, because we've been redeemed and saved and have this wonderful hope that one day we're going to be with him. It says, who by him do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned, not phony, but real love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. It's because of the love of Christ that is in us that we're able to love others. We can love our enemies. We can love those that are different. We may not understand them. We may not like sometimes things that are happening. But yet, you know, God died for everybody, didn't he? Jesus came to bring light and life into every life. No matter what color, no matter what language, no matter what religion, what background they're from, we're told to preach the gospel to every creature, to go and to win everybody that we can to the Lord Jesus Christ. And we've been saved and redeemed, what? Through the truth. Because we do believe in God that raised him from the dead. gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God, seeing that you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit. We can't do anything without the Spirit of God. Amen? Aren't you glad you have the Spirit of God living in you? Sometimes, maybe it doesn't seem like it. I don't understand it all. Matter of fact, I understand very little. Years ago, I don't know if it's true, but they said the great theologian and preacher got up to preach, and they were waiting to hear something, you know, give us something dramatic, something unusual, something dynamic, something that'll motivate us and get us excited. And he said, Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. If you don't know anything but that, that's enough, isn't it? Amen. Jesus loves me. This I know. He gave his life for me, and the Bible tells me about that. That Jesus came from heaven, was born of a virgin. It says in the book of Hebrews that Jesus, like you and I, took on flesh, that through his life and his death and burial and resurrection, he would destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. We're victorious in Christ. We're saved and on our way to heaven. I look out at this world and I believe every word of God. I don't understand it, but I believe it. It's God's word. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and it tells us in Hebrews 11, he made the world out of nothing. And he spoke and said, let there be, and there was. I don't understand that. How could God do that? I don't know. I don't know how the sun comes up every day and how the world keeps turning. I know Christ upholds all things by the word of his power. I don't know how God does that, but I know that he does. And I believe it. The one song we sing where it talks about salvation, and he says, I don't know how God worked in his heart and brought him to that place of repentance and faith. I don't know how God does that. I don't know how God works in the circumstances of our life and how God draws us unto himself. I don't know how all things work together for good. Because sometimes we look at things in life and we say, Lord, how can this be good? But if God says it's good, I know it is. He works all things together for good to those who love him and are the called according to his purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for our lives. He may lead us through troubled waters and through storms. We'll go through them. But he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. I'll always be with you. I'll be with you in the storm. When the floods overflow, I'll be with you. When you go through the fire, he told him in the book of Isaiah, I'll be with you. No matter what you go through, I'll be there. The Lord is our help, and the Lord is our strength. And no matter what we're going through, if we'll trust in the Word of God, believe the Word of God. You know, difficult days are ahead for this world. Did you know that? Jesus said there's a tribulation coming such as the world has never seen. And in that tribulation, half of the world's population, as I understand it, in the book of Revelation, are going to be killed. According to the book of Zechariah, 2 out of every 3 Jews are going to be killed in the tribulation period. And God is going to bring that remnant through that third. And then Paul said all Israel will be saved. There's great judgment ahead for the nation of Israel. Daniel's 70 weeks. The first 69 weeks had nothing to do with the church. And the 70th week has nothing to do with the church. We believe in the rapture, we'll be caught up. We've not been appointed unto wrath, but to attain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. What did God do when he judged the world with a flood? He took his people out, didn't he? What did he do with Sodom and Gomorrah when he destroyed it? He took his people out. And before God destroys this world, he's going to take his people out. He's going to call us home to be with him. We don't deserve it, do we? We don't deserve it. But yet God laid before us a choice, as he told the Jews. You could choose a blessing. You could choose a curse. You could choose death or you could choose life. We that are here, we chose life. We chose to believe God's word. God never said he would give us full understanding, but he does give us understanding, wisdom, and knowledge. He tells us, you know, with all of your getting of wisdom, get understanding. He said, wisdom is better than rubies and gold and silver if you could get wisdom. If we could understand to some degree the mind of Christ. If we could some degree get a hold of the heart of God. I was reading in Genesis. Jacob wrestled with a man. I believe that man was a theophany. I believe that was the Lord Jesus Christ in a pre-incarnate appearance. And he wrestled with that man till the break of day, wrestling. We take it as wrestling in prayer. And the man that he wrestled with said, the sun is about to break, let me go. Jacob said, I'll not let you go. Do you bless me? Here was a man that got a hold of God. And he held on. Esau is coming. The last time I saw him, he said, he's going to kill me. I won't let you go till you bless me. The Lord touched him in the hollow of his thigh. Thy name is no longer Jacob, but your name shall be called Israel. And you're going to be a prince. But he walked with a limp the rest of his life. When you get a hold of God, and God gets a hold of us, we can never be the same again. How can we go back to where we were? By the grace of God, we can't. Repentance, we turn and we're moving forward. We're pressing on to the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad God got a hold of you? I'm glad God got a hold of me one day. Turn with me, last of all, to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And I want to read verses 10 through 14. Part of our motivation is the future promises of God. I don't know if I said 1 Peter, but it's 2 Peter chapter 3. And this is what he says. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? Looking for and the hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we according to the promise look for new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that you long for such things or look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. The scripture tells us Jesus was holy and harmless and undefiled and separate from sinners. So our motivation to be purified, to set ourselves apart, to be separated as Christ was from sinners, is because of this hope of a new heaven and a new earth, that he's coming back again. So he says, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we got saved, we were no longer at war with God, but we've been called to peace. We've been called to follow him. We've been called to be set apart, to be different. If you're like me, how do you put it? I have much regrets of how I've disappointed the Lord. It bothers me when I sin. It bothers me when I don't tell someone about Christ. It bothers me when I'm ungrateful or unthankful or unforgiving or unkind. And what can I do but go to my knees and go to Christ and say, Lord, help me to be purified. Help me to be that person of God that you want me to be. And I pray that for all of us. Father, thank you for this time this morning. We're actually finishing a little early, but I've said what you wanted me to say. So I pray you'll use it for your glory. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.